Welcome to the Decent Rowing Podcast. My name's Lachlan. I'm here with my dad, Ken, and together we have decentrowing.com. So today we're going to be talking about foot stretcher position and specifically what moving it forward and backwards in the boat does.
What tends to happen in most environments that I've been involved with is that the foot stretcher is used mostly to set people up at the finish. So if you're in a sculling boat, can you sit at the finish and have the handles, the ends of the oars just scrape past your sides, or some people like to rig it so they have to, they can't go past their sides. But it's mostly to do with that finish position. In a sweep boat, it's very similar. People tend to set up off the finish. Frequently, they set up everyone at the same point off the finish, just the same number of centimetres from the centre of the pin, for example, and they use that as a reference to, they say, to try and get everyone to finish at the same point, which is good, and it's nice for everyone to finish at the same point. The issue, though, with the foot stretcher is it's far more than that. It's an incredibly complicated process what moving the foot stretcher will do to the way a boat's rigged, the way the athletes behave, how they take the catch, whether they have injuries. There's so many aspects that come out of moving the foot stretcher. So perhaps, Lachlan, let's run through first the concept of setting up a boat, like a sweep boat, for example, setting up everyone the same point behind the pin as far as the finish position goes, and therefore where the foot stretcher sits. You would have been involved with many eights over the years where the first thing they do before you get on the water is to move the foot stretcher so that it's everyone's at 62 centimetres or something like that. So what's your view on that aspect?
Yeah, so it's good to have some sort of reference point when you're setting a crew up, whether it be at the catch or the finish. Typically, a lot of boats that I've been in, people set up off the finish. So, I mean, it looks good when you're all sitting there at the pontoon, you know, at the finish position, blades square and buried in the water. It looks really good. But it doesn't really take into account what happens at the catch. And depending on how long the athlete is or how tall the athlete is in their stroke, some people, if you match everyone up at the finish, you're going to end up with a good together finish position. But if you have a really tall athlete that has really good length, they might get 10 or 15 degrees more arc at the catch. And so when they place their blade, it's going to be twice as hard for them to do that first part of the stroke as it is for someone who's shorter. And so you can run into real problems with a higher rate. So if when you're setting up a sweep boat, typically what you want to do is have it so everyone has the same time in the water, the same arc or potential arc in the water. And a lot of the time that's not factored in. It's people just set their crews up off the finish position. All the spans are the same, even if you've got someone who's, you know, 5'6" and someone who's, you know, 6'4" in the same boat. Not much thought goes into what arcs they're actually going to be rowing. And so when you get the rating up, the person who's rowing a much larger arc, especially around the catch, is going to have a lot of trouble getting that stroke done in a timely manner, and they'll feel like they're falling behind the rest of the crew. But it's in reality, it's usually because they're rowing a much larger arc than the shorter members of the crew. So yeah, I think setting people up off the finish is a really good way to go about an initial starting point. But if you're going to set people off the finish, you're essentially setting their finish angle. Make sure you go ahead and set a catch angle as well. And this can be done the exact same way with a small, if you're doing it in an eight, it's quite easy, you know, with a small mark on the boat, a bit of chalk pen or something like that. At the point where that oar should be with the outside hand or the inside hand, probably more likely, where that should hover over. So if you've got really tall athletes, they know that they have to stop coming forward at that point. That's where they place a blade in the water, whether it be, you know, 3/4 slide or a bit further. And for the shorter athletes, they might know that, I need to really reach out to get that same catch angle or similar to it. So it's something that I think would reduce a lot of arguments within the boat of how heavy it feels, how light it feels, things like that, just by making sure that if you're setting a finish angle to set people up on with the foot stretcher, you also set a catch angle to make sure that someone doesn't spend too much time in the water and someone not enough.
Yeah, so what that means in practice is that if you're going to have athletes that are different heights and different arcs in the boat, then you need to think of other methods in order to get them so they're more aligned and more similar. and that's beyond the scope of today's podcast, but changing things like the span and the oar length and all those aspects come into play. One of the things that happens, though, if you've got an athlete that's got a much steeper catch angle than everyone else, the gearing at the catch is something that increases rapidly as the catch increases. So if you move the foot stretcher towards the stern and therefore increase the catch angle, alternatively you've got someone who just happens to be that size and you have a large catch angle, then they've got a lot more gearing at the catch. So perhaps, Lachlan, if you could run through the difference in gearing and the difference in ease of catch depending on what sort of arc people have at the catch.
So yeah, the further you have the foot stretcher towards the bow of the boat, the less the catch angle will be when you get there. And that means that the oar is travelling in a more similar direction to the water going past it than if it was, say, further towards the stern. So further towards the stern, the oar sort of spears into the water more and you are much further round. So you end up with quite a lot of force getting stored as potential energy, and also it's a lot slower, that first arc of the part of the arc of the rowing stroke. So if you have the foot stretcher a long way towards the catch, then you're going to be able to place the blade a bit more slowly and you'll be able to get a much more effective arc from that position. Whereas if it's further towards the bow, you haven't got as much time to place that blade in the water, and it's going to be a lot lighter when you do. So this is what I was talking about with taller athletes versus shorter athletes. It's one of the main reasons why you see the really tall single sculler. They're only using 3/4 sliders, because if they were to go much further, their catch angle would be so large that it would just be so heavy and it wouldn't be an efficient way to row. Whereas shorter people in the single sculls that you see at the World Championships, they have to row full length, shins vertical or over vertical, just to compete with the athletes. And it's because they're all trying to row a similar arc to get a very efficient rowing stroke. And for a taller person, that means rowing at 3/4 slide. And for a shorter person, it means rowing at full slide. But typically at other age groups, you're requesting all of your athletes row with full slide, which isn't a bad thing, but you have to take into account how big their arc in the water, their effective arc actually is. And that'll give you an idea of how hard it is for them to do that stroke. Shorter people with a smaller arc, they'll be able to get it done really quickly. Taller people with a larger arc, they'll have a lot more time in the water and it'll be a lot harder for them to push that blade through the water.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that power force dynamic can have some damaging consequences as well, particularly with, I've seen it more with younger school athletes, where if you have someone who's has a large arc and they've therefore got a heavy stroke compared to everyone else, then they're more prone to injury, particularly lower back type injuries. And so it's even more important for people in that position to have a really strong core, because that's one of the best protectors from a back. But more importantly, perhaps, is if you have athletes that do complain about a bit of back pain, then think pretty carefully about where their foot stretcher is. Because if you've got the foot stretcher for these people well towards the stern, then you'll find that their catch is going to be a multiple times heavier than it is for someone who's got their foot stretcher more towards the bow. And so that arc at the catch is a really strong determinant of back injury in young athletes. So be very mindful that if you've got a heavily geared boat and they've got a foot stretcher that's well towards the stern, then you're running a real risk of some injury for probably not much gain. So think carefully again about where that foot stretcher sits in relation to people who have a propensity to back pain. The other thing that happens as well is that where the blade goes into the water can make for an easier or a harder catch to execute. So it's often easier to get a better catch if you've got your foot stretcher towards the stern. Now, Lachlan, you've done a bit of work with this over the last few years. What's your view on what type of athlete might want to have an easier or a harder catch?
So for me, I use myself as an example. So if I'm doing lots of low intensity training, doing it for fitness, not doing as much racing, which I am at the moment, I much prefer to have a foot stretcher a long way towards the stern of the boat. So it needs, I need to have enough room just to tap out, but for me it's probably about, in my single scull, about one fist width at the finish, and then have the maximum catch angle I can. And that's because it's a lot easier for me to place the blade and get a full rowing stroke. I can get connected more slowly. It's a lot heavier, which I think is, for me, I like the feeling of that at the catch. But one of the things I also have is I have really soft oars, a lot softer than you'd probably expect. They're reduced diameter shafts. They're the soft grade, so they're not medium stiffness, they're soft stiffness. And it's quite pleasant for me to place the blade at that heavy catch angle, put a lot of potential energy into those oars, get a little bit of a bend on them. And I really like that for my training, like slow, steady state sort of rowing. But I wouldn't want to try and race like that because it's extremely heavy. The gearing is quite a lot at that catch angle. And if I was to try and do that during a race at a high rating, I wouldn't last very long. Yeah, maybe 250 meters before I really blew up. And so if I was racing, I'd move my feet probably 2 inches further towards the bow of the boat, because you get a lot of benefits from being able to maintain a higher rate. And by doing that, it takes a lot of that catch angle out and moves it towards the finish, and it makes the whole stroke a lot easier. And so, yeah, for someone who's racing, especially new to racing, I'd have quite a large finish angle, so quite a lot of room between your hands at the finish, or if you're in a sweet boat, quite a long way behind the pin, as much as is comfortable without the oar starting to pull out of the gate. That being said, if I was an elite rower, I'd be quite happy to race at that large catch angle, small catch angle at the finish, because I'd have a lot more fitness and a lot more engine capacity, and I'd want to make the most of that large catch angle because it's a lot easier to place the blade. Like I said, the gearing is a lot more, so you're a lot more effective in the water. They'd also have stiffer oars, so they'd have a lot more power being transferred early on in that stroke into the water and into the boat speed. And so they could handle that. They can last a whole race like that. But for someone who isn't as fit, like myself, that's just not a realistic goal. So it's one of those things where you have to be really careful mimicking what the elites do, because they really are on a different level when it comes to what they can do, especially out of that really heavy catch with stiffer oars.
Absolutely. And another thing, that touching on what Lachlan said there about when he's rowing with if he has wanted to race and he moved the foot stretcher a long way, then you can end up with quite a lot of space between the end of the sculling blades, talking sculling here, and the body. And so what you need to be able to do is to make sure that the athletes understand that they can finish early. You don't have to pull the handle past your body. In fact, pulling the handle past your body is a relatively weak position when it comes to the muscles in the shoulders and arms. So if you're going to change the foot stretcher so you've got a lot of space at the finish, then you also need to make sure that the athletes understand about how to cut the finish a bit short. Otherwise, when they get into a race, they'll be rowing exceptionally long and at the finish, and you'll find that it's not as fast as it should be because they end up leaving a lot more weight in the bow of the boat. The other thing that happens with this moving the foot stretcher is that often I hear athletes, when they're training, and they're training with a group of people, and so this is a bit single scull because that's where you end up with a lot of people rowing against each other with no other outside influences, but it applies to bigger boats as well, is that if you're rowing at rate 20, so quite often people will be capped at rate 20 on a training piece and might do 15, 20 kilometres in a session at rate 20 or thereabouts. Now, if you're going to be trapped at rate 20, and I say trapped because you can't change your rating up in order to go faster, and you're trying to keep up with other athletes in order to show how good you are or to just improve your performance, or you're just naturally competitive, then if your rating's capped at 20, then it's all about power and length. And so you want to have as much power as you can, as much length as you can, because rating's not a weapon that you've got to use. So if you're doing a lot of training at a low rate and you're finding that it's hard to keep up with everyone else, then try moving your foot stretcher. because, as we've just discussed, if you move your foot stretcher, you're going to increase the load, you're going to increase your length, and you're likely, if your rating's capped at 20, to go faster. So if you move your foot stretcher towards the stern and therefore increase your catch angle, then you're going to get more power and more length. And so you're likely to go a fair bit faster at a low rate if your rating's capped. But just remember that when you get to the point of racing again and going at a high rate, then you change your foot stretcher again, because we're not looking for power and length on their own in a racing situation. We've got power and length and rating. And it's very difficult to get the rating if you've got a very large catch angle and you're not strong enough to be able to deal with that, and a very long rowing stroke. So use the foot stretcher, get to understand how it works, because when you're doing long, slow pieces, then you can move the foot stretcher towards the stern, give yourself a greater catch angle, makes the catch easy to execute because it's more like spearing into the water, and it gives you a faster boat at a low rate. So just be really mindful when you're trying to compete at a low rate, then the foot stretch is one of your biggest friends. So, Lachlan, you've done lots of slow miles on the kilometres on the river with people, and how do you see low rate rowing in relation to the foot stretcher?
Yeah, so at a low rate, if you want to have speed, like you were saying, you need to row long and you need to apply the power well. And one of those things, part of applying the power well, is getting the blade in the water. And getting the blade in the water is a lot easier if you have a large catch angle. And as long as you're not overloaded, so you're not injured, you don't have injuries that you're worried about, yeah, moving the foot stretcher towards the stern of the boat, if you can still tap out, you know, relatively cleanly, is going to make your boat a lot easier to row quickly. But yeah, like I said, if you come to racing and you're used to rowing at that large catch angle, if you move the foot stretcher towards the bow of the boat, that large catch angle isn't there to save you. You have to be very proficient at placing the blade, and you'll find it a lot harder to get a good catch with the foot stretcher towards the bow. So it's one of those things that you have to be mindful of if you're planning on switching it up. And it's one of those things where the more elite you become, the more training you've done, the bigger engine you have, moving that foot stretcher towards the stern of the boat is really going to benefit you over your competitors. So that's one of the main reasons why, you know, strength and condition is just so important with rowing. It actually allows you to have an easier catch by being able to place the blade at that larger catch angle with your foot stretcher further towards the stern. And it's one of the reasons why, especially when you have beginner crews, you want to make sure that their foot stretcher is a long way towards the bow. You want to make sure they have heaps of room around the finish, because it's really hard for a beginner to get a good finish, tap out cleanly, if they're really tight on the body. So if they haven't got much room to tap down, that's a skill that they'll develop over time, and a more elite person will be able to do that. Just like a more elite person is going to be able to deal with the extra load that's at the catch if the foot stretcher is a long way towards the stern. So especially with beginners, make sure they have plenty of room with their foot stretcher a long way towards the bow of the boat. It will make their experience a lot more enjoyable, and they'll be able to build up over time to increase that catch angle and move the foot stretcher slowly towards the stern of the boat as they go. But it's probably good to think of the foot stretcher moving towards the stern as adding load, as increasing gearing, and moving it towards the bow is decreasing load and decreasing gearing. So depending on what you want to achieve, whether it's a higher boat speed, whether it's more load, you go towards the stern of the boat. If you want to make it so they can get the rating up easier, then move it towards the bow of the boat. And yeah, having a high rating and being able to maintain that for a whole race distance, that's crucial. So most of the time, people in the more junior age groups that aren't that fit, they typically will end up having their foot stretcher too far towards the stern of the boat, trying to find these gains that they just don't have the capacity to produce in a race. But they can do it quite comfortably in training, as we were saying, and they're quite fast in training. So if you've got someone who is quite good in training at a low rate. They're very fast, but in a race situation, they just can't get the rating up. They don't seem to have the same boat speed that they do at a low rating. There's a good chance that they're set too far towards the stern of the boat with their foot stretcher, and just by simply moving the foot stretcher towards the bow of the boat, they could improve their race performance. But bear in mind, it'll probably decrease their slow rating performance, but it depends what you're training for. Like I said, I'm training at a low rate, you know, less than 20 strokes a minute, sometimes 14 strokes a minute, just enjoying my row on the river. I can have a really large catch angle and it's not going to affect me negatively. Whereas if I was training for racing, I'd say, yeah, I need to move my feet towards the bow of the boat, get used to placing that blade a lot more quickly, because it is harder. It's a lot harder to place the blade quickly with the foot stretcher towards the bow of the boat. But if my goal is a good race performance, then it's just something I have to do to be able to take the rowing to that next level.
There's a couple of gems in there too that I think are important to flesh out from a coaching training perspective. If you're coaching beginner athletes or any athlete really, then what Lachlan's saying about the finish, if they're too tight at the finish in a sculling boat, or indeed in a sweep boat, if the oar's just in an uncomfortable position, it's difficult for them to get a good finish. It's difficult for them to execute the full rowing stroke effectively. But if you're trying to teach someone how to make a really good catch, so how to have a really good catch, and let's pick on sculling here, although the same would apply to sweep, is that if you move the foot stretcher a long way towards the stern, which will mess with their finish. Understand that their finish will be tighter and therefore a little bit more uncomfortable, particularly in sculling, not so bad in sweep. Then if you do that, then their catch is going to be a lot easier to execute well. So if you're purely focusing on the catch in a particular session, then just try the concept of moving the foot stretcher towards the stern, increasing the catch angle so that the catch, the blade goes into the water, definitely spearing into the water at a large angle. Then you may get some good gains with catch education by having them practice with in that position so that they can get the feeling of what it's like to get the catch in super quick and without any adverse consequences. And then in the same session, I'd suggest, once they've got that under control, is slowly move the foot stretcher towards the bow a bit more and a bit more and get them to try and replicate that same sensation of a really quick, really precise, deep catch. It may be, for some people, it'll be a very useful way to educate on getting a better catch and then revert back to the normal rig so they've got a good finish, and you might end up with a good catch and a good finish quite quickly. So understand your foot stretcher, because it's positioned from the bow to the stern. Forget about height, we can talk about that another time, but the position of the foot stretcher towards the bow, towards the stern, is something that you don't set and forget. It's something that you need to understand so that you can maximize the performance of the boat and the athlete by using that foot stretcher to your advantage. And as I mentioned earlier, be mindful always that if someone's got a propensity to a back injury, then be really careful about where you put that foot stretcher. So to my way of thinking, the foot stretcher is one of those things that's frequently forgotten. People just set it so that it's comfortable, and they set it in the same place and they leave it there all the time, no matter what sort of rowing they're doing. And that's not really the way to get the best outcome for everybody.
So if you want to learn more about this, we've got a heap of videos on our website about this, moving the foot stretcher forward and back in the boat, testing out different rigs with different catch angles, working out how that feels, as well as a whole heap of other videos. And if you're interested in a training program, we've got a free 12-week training program you can download. It's got beginner, intermediate, advanced, and elite variations. All you have to do is put your email in at decentrowing.com and we send that direct to your email. We also have a free rowing course. It's an on-water rowing course. If you want to learn a bit more about different aspects of the rowing stroke, we take it all the way through from basic rigging all the way through to racing. And it's a really good, useful resource for people just getting into the sport that want to learn a bit more about it. So until next time, happy rowing.